This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sport of Pro Wrestling Podcast. I am Chris Samsa, and this is your New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 Climax 30 Night 16 Preview. New Japan Pro Wrestling's G1 Climax 30 will continue with its third-to-last block card of the tournament on October 14th in the first New Japan event from the new Yokohama Budokan Arena. The beautiful new venue will play host to the B Block as they battle through their eighth card of the tournament. Unlike the A Block's four wrestlers locked at the top of the block through seven matches, only two wrestlers have reached 10 points at the same point in the B Block. Evil and Tetsuya Naito are tied at 10 points at the top of the block, with Evil holding the clear and definitive tiebreaker via his victory over Tetsuya Naito just the other night. Three more wrestlers are still very much in the hunt, as Sonata, Zack Sabre Jr., and Hirooki Goto all sit at 8 points. Four more wrestlers sit at 6 points, technically able to tie the block leaders at 10, but based on all of the tiebreaker scenarios that we've run, the only wrestler at 6 points who can possibly win the block is Kenta, so he is still alive with the slimmest of chances. So slim, I left his E in his elimination number column. Of course, you can find my complete statistical breakdown for every competitor in this year's G1 Climax at voicesofwrestling.com. I have interactive, sortable tables for NJPW's 2020, detailed results and statistics of all 1,530 G1 Climax matches to date. Yeah, that's right. As well as a full box score for this year's tournament at sportofprowrestling.com. You can let me know what you find when you drill down some of that data, or if you're just poking and looking at stuff yourself, by dropping me a line on Twitter at TheChrisSamsa. Now, logistically, this show is going to begin at 6:30 p.m. Japan Standard Time on October 14th, 2020. The venue, the brand new Yokohama Budokan. This will be the first New Japan event from the new Budokan. Let's see, local time conversions. Let's see, Sydney, Australia, we're looking at 7:30 p.m. 6:30 p.m. in Tokyo, as mentioned. 4:30 a.m. for me in Chicago. This is one of our very typical start times for these New Japan G1 events. You can watch live or on demand on NJPW World. And if you're using NJPW World, you should really check out NJPW EXT. NJPW EXT is the only browser extension for NJPWWorld.com, with features like synchronized viewing parties, dark mode, improved translations and layouts, custom and shared playlists, and much, much more. It takes NJPW World to the next level. Visit NJPWEXT.us today for details. So we're talking about the B Block again. We're back to that after the last card ended with Evil defeating Tetsuya Naito in, I guess, something of a surprise. If nothing else, that match certainly could have gone either way, and nobody would have been super surprised by it, because Evil beat Naito earlier in the year, and Evil now beat Naito twice this year. So that sets the stage for where we're at now. Let's take a peek at our Sport of Pro Wrestling box score. Evil and Tetsuya Naito do both sit at the top of the standings with 10 points. Of course, Evil holds that ever-important tiebreaker. So Evil is the leader of the block. Now under them, three guys with 8 points, definitely still involved in the decision-making of this block: Sonata, Zack Sabre Jr., and Hirooki Goto. Below them, with super outside chances of even tying for the top of the block, I've already officially eliminated three of these guys because I can't find a tiebreaker scenario that they could win. And then Kenta is still in the hunt because we did find one specific tiebreaker scenario that Kenta could end up winning the block, and I'm going to explain that when we go through the tiebreaker scenarios, mostly because it's kind of fun to find that really narrow lane for one wrestler to win, even though there are so many things that would have to happen perfectly for Kenta to be the block winner. But at 6 points, we've got Toriano, Juice Robinson, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Kenta. And then at the bottom of the block with just 2 points, Yoshihashi. Total match length is an interesting thing to take to keep an eye on, because Tetsuya Naito is not even inching closer to breaking the total match length record for a single G1 Climax tournament. He's almost certainly going to surpass that record. He's currently sitting at 2 hours, 58 minutes, and 31 seconds. So that's an average match length of 25 minutes and 29 seconds, which is a full 4.5, give or take, minutes longer than the previous record, which was Kazuchika Okada last year in his G1. His total match length was 3 hours and 9 minutes and some odd seconds. So Naito definitely going to cross that threshold, given he's got 2 matches left. So he's got to be tired. He's had a long year and a lot of long matches, really arduous competitions. It's going to be, you got to figure that that's going to come into play here at some point. Maybe not during the G1. If he can make it through this G1 without fully kind of imploding based on the amount of work he's had to do, he may be in good shape going forward. I guess the other thing to keep in mind is that these guys, this G1 Climax tournament has been different than previous years. There are no kind of preview tags on the opposite block nights. So Tetsuya Naito, like that 2 hours, 58 minutes and 31 seconds, that is in like singles matches, but he also has full days of rest where in previous years he would have had to suit up, go participate in the tag match, probably fight whoever he's fighting the night, the next night, and he wouldn't have that time to heal. So maybe that's what's allowing him to go long and still remain relatively successful. I mean, only the 2 losses for Naito, the losses to Evil and Sonata throughout the tournament so far. Second highest in that metric is a little bit surprising. It's Hiroshi Tanahashi. He's the only one in the B block, the only other wrestler in the B block who has crossed the 2-hour threshold. He's at 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 45 seconds. He hasn't been quite as successful as Tetsuya Naito. He's only coming into this block night with 6 points. So there's not a lot else to dissect in kind of the detailed statistics there. But what we can take a peek at is our key tiebreakers. Now, a key tiebreaker is a tiebreaker victory over anyone within 2 points of the top of the block. Now, that'll include the 5 guys that we've kind of designated as the people who are still in this tournament. Evil, Tetsuya Naito, Sonata, Zack Sabre Jr., and Hirooki Goto. And those are the only wrestlers who are going to have key tiebreakers as well. So there's no reason to go and dig into wrestlers who cannot win the block, because they will not need a tiebreaker. So at the top of the block, like we know, is Evil. Evil's got 10 points. Evil only has 1 key tiebreaker. So only 1 tiebreaker over this group of 5 wrestlers right now. But it is the best one to have. He defeated Tetsuya Naito just the other night. Tetsuya Naito also with 10 points. He's got a couple of key tiebreakers. Both guys with 8 points, of course. Hirooki Goto and Zack Sabre Jr. Sonata enters his main event on this card against Hiroshi Tanahashi with 8 points. And 2 key tiebreakers. One being against Tetsuya Naito. Naito at 10 points, so a little bit ahead of Sonata. And 1 against Zack Sabre Jr. with 8 points. 8-point Zack Sabre Jr. Comes into his match tonight with 2 key tiebreakers, one being really good one to have. He defeated Evil. He's the only guy on this list who defeated Evil, so that actually works way in his favor when we're discussing giving him a chance to win the block. And he also defeated Hirooki Goto, also at 8 points. Hirooki Goto only has 1 tiebreaker. It is over Sonata at 8 points as well. So all of that kind of adds up to our weighted block win probability. And if you listen to yesterday's podcast, you would kind of understand that one a little bit more. But I'll explain it again, because It's, I don't know, complex, maybe it's abstract, but it's actually my way of simplifying everything that I'm looking at to assign a probability to who's going to win this thing, who's going to win the block. So weighted block win probability, it's a weighted combination of points, a wrestler's max points, tiebreaker values, efficiency metrics, remaining opponents, elimination number, and winning or losing streak. Now, the formula weighs points that you already have more than pretty much anything, because that's the most important factor to somebody winning a block like this, right? So beyond that, it takes into account the maximum amount of points that you can earn. Now, that mostly comes into play because there are certain tournaments that wrestlers have days off when other block wrestlers are still going. So sometimes they have a mixed number of matches that they have already participated in. You can see that in the C block here. There's three people in that block, but only two wrestle on any given day, so they bounce between having the same amount and one fewer or one more. So you've got to account for the maximum amount of points that they could gain in the future. Tiebreaker values, those are weighted really heavily. Tiebreaker values are super important, especially in block tournaments with clean tiebreakers like New Japan treats them. If someone beats someone in the block, they're the winner. There's no need to have a tiebreaker match or anything like some of the other Japanese wrestling companies. Efficiency metrics, remaining opponents, elimination number, and streak, those are involved but not weighted super heavily. I would say that the remaining opponents, so the future strength of schedule, as we'll call it, that would be the most heavily weighted of that last kind of tail end group. Efficiency metrics, and what we're looking at there is situations like Tetsuya Naito's, where he's been in the ring for so long over the course of this tournament. How is he going to hold up towards the tail end? We're also looking at things like win-loss differential. So that's basically like if you're winning fast but losing long, you're showing that you're a super competitive wrestler. So let's look at where we're at with the B block. Evil's 35.91% weighted block win probability represents the highest in the block. Evil, of course, is tied with Tetsuya Naito with the most points, and he also benefits from his huge tiebreaker win over Naito at the top of the block. Of this group, only Zack Sabre Jr. owns the tiebreaker over Evil, so that works in Evil's favor as well. No negative points on the tiebreakers with this group of five. Tetsuya Naito comes in with 23.88% chance of winning the block. His 10 points are tied for the most in the block, and he also benefits from the easiest strength of schedule going forward. Naito's near 3 hours of total match length represent an inefficiency that drags him down, but his losses to Sonata and Evil are the largest factors in his 12% deficit behind Evil. Sonata is the highest rated among the 8-point group. He has the highest tiebreaker factor with Naito and Zack Sabre Jr., and he has momentum on his side. He is currently riding a 4-match winning streak. Zack Sabre Jr. has been the most efficient wrestler in this group. Now, we already talked about that. That's not super weighted, but it does exist. He has the lowest average winning match length and the best win-loss differential. Both Naito and Sonata holding tiebreakers over him works against him, though. And then Goto has the lowest probability to win the block of this group. He only holds a tiebreaker over Sonata, and he appears on both Naito and Zack Sabre Jr.'s key tiebreakers list. He also has nothing really notable throughout the rest of the metrics that tie into weighted block win probability. So that's a little peek under the hood of how I assign probabilities, and just it's a fun way to put it all together and see where everyone is kind of likely to land. Now, we know that that's not always what's going to happen, but if the data is suggesting something, oftentimes it does end up being the truth, but oftentimes it doesn't. I would say it's maybe 50-50. Last year, I used this as I was tracking the G1, and we did see an upward trajectory from Ibushi and Jay White. Obviously, with those big long streaks at the end, they ended up with some really key wins, and then they ended up winning their blocks. So it did indicate that they were going to win, but it also gave us an indication of who else was going to be close, who was going to be kind of in the tiebreaker mix. So it's a fun way to look at things. Right now, obviously, in the B block, it's pretty clean because Evil's got that tiebreaker over Naito. But when you look at those three with 8 points and Sonata is the clear leader there, I think that that's worth keeping an eye on. And I'm really curious what this is going to look like after one more night of block matches. So now that we've looked at kind of the probability of it, let's look at the black and white. How are these guys going to get eliminated? So in the first block match of the night, Kenta faces off with the already eliminated Yoshihashi. If Kenta loses...
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club Slab Pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, setting these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy video lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy video lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition. 1 second, door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
He's eliminated. If Kenta wins, he'll need a really specific group of things to happen to even stay alive through this night. And then I'll explain what he'll also need in the following night. I won't even explain it in complete detail, but I'll explain what's then possible if all of these things happen on in this card. So if Kenta wins, first match of the night, right? So we'll know if this even matters really quickly. If Kenta wins, he'll need Zack Sabre Jr. to defeat Juice Robinson. He'll need Toru Yano to defeat Tetsuya Naito. He'll need Hiroki Goto to defeat Evil. And he'll need Hiroshi Tanahashi to defeat Sonata. Kenta would then need to defeat Tetsuya Naito in his last block match on Saturday, along with another very particular set of results that lands the block in a tie at 10 points, with everyone but Juice Robinson and Yoshihashi in an 8-way tie at the end of block competition. In this scenario, Kenta would then win 3 levels of head-to-head tiebreakers, which is the tiebreaker when you have multiple people involved in a tie. You end up going with head-to-head versus that group. It's kind of a mini block. So he would then win 3 different levels of head-to-head tiebreakers and have the longest and most complicated claim to a block victory in G1 Climax history. Like I said, the absolute slimmest of chances to win, but there is a path to victory for Kenta. It is extremely unlikely, but as Joe Lanza uses the double red X, when you absolutely positively cannot win, you can't win via points, you can't win via tiebreaker. Kenta did not earn the double red X in our conversation with Thomas Fishbeck and Joe Lanza. Kenta has a path to victory, though the slimmest of margins. The second block match of the evening features Zack Sabre Jr. entering at 8 points, still very much alive. He's facing Juice Robinson at 6 points, who is effectively eliminated via his 4 losses to wrestlers with 6 or more points, making his ability to win a tiebreaker essentially impossible. Regardless of Zack Sabre Jr.'s result, if Tetsuya Naito wins, Zack Sabre Jr. is eliminated. Zack Sabre Jr. would also be eliminated with a loss plus an Evil or Tetsuya Naito gaining a single point, so if either of them draw or win. The middle block match of the night, Toru Yano, coming in with 6 points, will face IWGP Heavyweight and Intercontinental Champion Tetsuya Naito, who enters with 10. Toru Yano is effectively eliminated the same way Juice Robinson is, 4 losses to wrestlers with 6 or more points, making his ability to win a large tiebreaker essentially impossible. Naito could be eliminated tonight with a loss to Toru Yano paired with an Evil victory, and a Tetsuya Naito victory leaves Zack Sabre Jr. and Hiroki Goto pretty much automatically eliminated. The semi-main event will have the resurgent Hiroki Goto entering with 8 points against block leader Evil entering at 10. Evil is the only wrestler on the card tonight who can absolutely not be eliminated from contention. Goto, on the other hand, needs the win, or his tournament will go forward with no chance of block victory. Even if Goto wins, if Tetsuya Naito was successful in the match prior, Goto will be very much a long shot, dependent on multi-person tiebreaker scenarios to give him a chance. And the main event will feature Hiroshi Tanahashi and Sanada. Tanahashi is effectively eliminated, as the best he can do is tie the block leaders, Evil and Tetsuya Naito, but Sanada enters with a chance to land himself at 10 points with a tiebreaker over Tetsuya Naito and a chance to establish a tiebreaker in his final block match against Evil at Ryugoku. Simply put, if Sanada wins, he's still alive and actually in pretty good shape, and a Sanada loss paired with an Evil or Tetsuya Naito win, he is eliminated. Sanada will benefit from knowing the stakes of his match entering the main event, as Naito and Evil will wrestle before him. So a lot of dissecting those scenarios on this particular card. The second to last card is usually when things are the most complicated, because there are still a couple of options for guys to fall out or get into really that mix for that last night. Usually on the last night, there's a couple of scenarios that could play out. Hopefully these segments get a little bit shorter and we can really dig into some of the main event or main event and semi-main event combination scenarios as we go through the Ryugoku shows that will come up after these particular block matches. Let's do a little walkthrough of the card. So we've got the main event, like I said, Hiroshi Tanahashi and Sanada. Tanahashi entering with 6, Sanada entering with 8 points. Hiroshi Tanahashi has quietly amassed the second most total match length in the B block at 2 hours, 4 minutes, and 45 seconds already in this tournament. Tanahashi's first match of the tournament is the 11th longest G1 climax match ever, with a decision rendered. That was his loss to Tetsuya Naito. Really kind of set him up off on the wrong foot. He really gave it all in that match, and he couldn't come out victorious. That is not Tanahashi's longest G1 match ever, though. His 27-minute and 56-second victory over AJ Styles in 2015 holds that honor. G1 Climax history, there's always something we can find with Hiroshi Tanahashi. Tanahashi will likely remain at the top of the G1 Climax wins list for many years to come. He's currently at 86. Hirooki Goto and Tetsuya Naito are next closest active competitors with 59 wins each. In terms of 2020, Tanahashi and Sanada have both had kind of disappointing singles runs in 2020. Sanada just squeaked himself over the 500 mark. He is now 8-7. Tanahashi at 4-6 may need to find his ace energy to continue to be a major factor in the NJPW heavyweight division. Head-to-head, always important to keep an eye on. Tanahashi and Sanada have traded victories in 4 matches since 2016. They are 2-2 against each other. They are also 1-1 in the G1, with Sanada winning their first G1 match in 2016, but Tanahashi winning their second in 2019. The semi-main event will feature Hiroki Goto versus Evil, Goto entering at 8 points, Evil entering with 10. Evil's 4-match winning streak is the highest in the tournament. He's tied with block member Sanada as well as Kazuchika Okada on the other side. Evil has labored through his victories, though. He has lost relatively quickly as well. So his negative 8 minutes and 47 seconds win-loss differential is the worst in the tournament by far, with Sanada's negative 6 minutes and 11 seconds the next worst. That may be a strategy, I guess. If Evil doesn't see a clear path towards victory, he may be likely to give up in favor of saving his energy for later in the tournament. I don't anticipate seeing that over these last couple of matches. G1 Climax history. Evil has quietly been a really strong G1 competitor. Evil has averaged 9.5 points in his previous 5 G1s, and he's already surpassed that in this year's tournament. Evil's 24 G1 victories since entering the tournament in 2016 are 4th most in that time frame, behind only Tetsuya Naito's 30, Kazuchika Okada's 29, and Hiroshi Tanahashi with 26. Hiroki Goto sits right behind Evil in that same category with 23 victories over the last 5 tournaments. Evil has been one of the Stories of 2020, of course. With a win tonight, Evil would tie Kazuchika Okada for the most singles victories in New Japan in 2020. He would then have 13. Head-to-head, Evil and Hirooki Goto have met 5 times, dating back to 2015. Goto leads the series between them 3-2. They've never met in the G1, but they have wrestled each other on many other big New Japan stages, including Power Struggle, Wrestling Dontaku, Dominion, New Beginning in Osaka, and this year's New Japan Cup. Goto looks to avenge his loss in this year's New Japan Cup with a victory over the now former IWGP Heavyweight and Intercontinental Champion. In the middle block match of the night, we've got Tetsuya Naito facing Tori Yano. Naito, of course, entering with 10 points, Yano entering with 6. Tetsuya Naito may be exhausted at this point in the tournament. He has 2 matches left, but with just 10 minutes and 47 seconds more in this tournament, Naito will break the record for the highest total match length in a single G1 climax. Fortunately for his stamina, Naito faces Tori Yano, whose matches have averaged just 6 minutes and 37 seconds in this tournament. The data that popped out most to me in regards to G1 climax history with these two: Tori Yano is in danger of tying Yuji Nagata and Hiroshi Tenzan for the most all-time G1 losses. If Yano loses his last 2 matches, he will join them at 67 at the top of that esteemed list. In 2020, Tetsuya Naito's 29-minute-and-1-second average match length is still more than 10 minutes higher than his 18:43 average from 2019. Naito is likely hoping his match with Yano will knock some time right off of that. Yano's 6:29 average winning match length is the shortest in NJPW in 2020. That includes guys with only 1 victory, or young lions, and things of the sorts. And as you can imagine, Tetsuya Naito and Tori Yano have quite a bit of history. They have faced each other 9 times dating back to 2010, with Naito leading the all-time series 6-3. 8 of their matches have happened during the G1 climax, and Naito leads the G1 series 5-3. Yano's victory over Naito in last year's tournament broke a Tetsuya Naito's 5-match winning streak against Yano in their all-time series. The likelihood of Naito breaking that total match length record tonight is slim. Naito and Yano haven't crossed the 10-minute threshold since 2011, and their 9 matches all-time have averaged just 7 minutes and 55 seconds. Naito's got to be hoping for a quick and, you know, at least brief match with Tori Yano so he can kind of get back on track, give himself a day off, maybe not a day off, but a lighter day, and hopefully go forward for his sake. The second block match of the night will be Juice Robinson facing off against Zack Sabre Jr. Zack Sabre Jr. still has plenty to fight with, coming in at 8 points, Juice coming in at 6. Zack Sabre Jr.'s 19-minute-and-35-second average losing match length is second longest in the B block, only shorter than, of course, Tetsuya Naito's 25-minute-and-33-second average in that category. Head-to-head, Zack Sabre Jr. and Juice Robinson have faced each other twice, once in the first round of the inaugural IWGP United States title tournament, and once in the 2018 G1. Zack Sabre Jr. was victorious both times. And the first block match of the night will be Yoshihashi versus Kenta. Yoshihashi eliminated, he's coming in with just 2 points, Kenta coming in with 6. Now, Yoshihashi, there's a little bit to explore here because he's having a not-so-great tournament, but also kind of good. So, and I'll explain that. So, his 4-match losing streak is the longest in the B block, that's tied with Tori Yano currently. Yoshihashi may not have been able to complete many victories, but he has had his most competitive G1 climax tournament in his history. His 17-minute-and-25-second average losing match length is 3 minutes longer than his previous high from 2017. So he's putting up much more of a fight. Even though he can't finish the job and get the win, he's definitely been better. Like, he's quantifiably been better. So that maybe gets him a spot in next year's tournament. I don't really know. Like, I'm not sure exactly how they're going to gauge Yoshihashi's performance here. But bad news for Yoshihashi, based on the Sport of Pro Wrestling ranking system, Yoshihashi is the actual statistically worst G1 Climax competitor of all time. The Sport of Pro Wrestling ranking system does weight recency, so there may be a little bit of a recency bias here, but his one win showing during this tournament has clearly not helped his cause. Kenta and Yoshihashi have fought once. That was in New York City at an event I actually attended at Hammerstein Ballroom. It was for the Never Openweight title, and Kenta defeated Yoshihashi in 25 minutes and 4 seconds. All right, that's the card. We've previewed all 5 matches. We talked a lot about the elimination scenarios. We went through weighted block win probability, and we talked a little bit about how each of these guys can go forward and potentially win this tournament. We're not going to do a C block update tonight because I've cheated. I am a night ahead, but I am finally ahead of the G1 Climax. I will return with your C block update on the next A block preview show. Of course, you can find this preview in written form at sportofprowrestling.com or voicesofwrestling.com. I know it's a little easier to track those tie-breaking scenarios and those elimination scenarios if you've got it in written form in front of you. This is all right there on my preview for this card. Or you can drop me a follow on Twitter at TheChrisSamsa. I promise I will be tweeting elimination scenarios and tiebreakers, etc. during these cards. I will be awake and live and doing it live. So if you want to verify what you're thinking or call me out on my potential mistakes, these are things that will happen. There's a lot going on with these tiebreakers. I love to interact and figure it out. It is the most fun I have all year. I really appreciate you giving me a listen, letting me be the one that catches you up on the G1. I'm excited to go through these last 4 or 5 cards with you guys, and I will see you next time on the Sport of Pro Wrestling podcast.